Oh, but I'll tell you, it still is the cost. He said, no man, if he's going to go out to battle, he counts the cost first. If he's going to build a building, he counts the cost first. And I say, once the cost is counted and the total is in, it is worth following Jesus. There is nothing in this life that can compare to that. And I appreciate the Lord tonight. I appreciate the opportunity to serve Him, to live for Him, and to know what He has in store. If you got your Bibles tonight, Proverbs chapter 1 is where we're going to be going. My wife and myself and Sister Amy were going to sing tonight, but Sister Amy went to a funeral today, and she texted us, and she said, I did not realize it was a Catholic funeral, and she showed up there, and she said, and if you've ever been to a Catholic funeral, you know what I mean when I say that. They're very long. There's a lot of sitting and standing and sitting and standing, and they're burning incense, and they're talking in Latin, most of which you can't understand unless you speak Latin fluently, and she said, I was not expecting this. She said, it's about to turn into a hostage situation, so... But nonetheless, they're not able to be here tonight, and it's probably for the best because I was supposed to sing, and my voice is, I don't know if it's been allergies or what, but over the last couple of days, my voice has not been faring too well. I was preaching up here this morning, and you probably noticed, but I was there toward the end of the message, and I was trying not to cough on you. I felt like I had something in my throat. It's not gone. It's got a little catch in there somewhere. So tonight, we're going to endeavor with the Lord's help. I just want to share what the Lord's laid on my heart. We may do some more teaching than preaching tonight, and I hope that you engage your mind with me. How many know it's not in how loud I can scream at you? It is the Word of God, and I know for me, many times, it comes part of it for me. I get loud when I'm preaching most of the time, and I'm not trying to do that. It's not an effort that I make. It's just the way that I am, but tonight, we're going to endeavor to do what the Lord's laid on our hearts. I've been reading through the book of Proverbs in my personal devotion time, and I've been reminded of the great insight that is provided in this Old Testament book. You know, as you read through different books of the Bible, you find almost everyone takes on a personality of its own. And if you know, we know it's all one story. I'm not telling you that it's a bunch of different stories. It's one story connected together. But nonetheless, every Bible book takes on its own personality. And some, such as Romans and Revelations, are profound books. They just, you read the things that are there, the salvific language that Paul uses in Romans 6, 7, and 8, and even on into chapters 9 through 11, and then you get into chapter 14, and he talks about how the riches of God's grace and his ways are beyond our understanding, and you just go, wow, it's profound. You go into Revelation, and you see the events of the end, and it just begins to wow you with the thoughts that are delivered there. It's a profound book. So others, such as John and Genesis, are powerful works. We just read things like, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And by Him were all things made, and without Him there was nothing that was made. And you just go, man, that's powerful. And He talks about the light coming into the darkness, and the darkness couldn't comprehend it. I mean, it's just wonderful. We talk about Genesis 1 there, where He says that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and He created everything out of nothing. These are powerful things. But when it comes to the book of Proverbs, I find it to be an extremely practical book. It's capable of being put into immediate use. You know, I can read through the book of Romans, and I've been saved for, I believe, 16 years now, and I read through the book of Romans, and I still go, wow, when I read certain portions of it. And that's not just in the book of Romans. It's in many places. It requires a lot of study to mine out certain things within the Word of God. But when I turn to the book of Proverbs, I am reminded of the fact, I remember I actually got the first Bible, well, it's one of the first Bibles I remember my mom and dad giving me. And she gave it to me the last time I was there visiting. My mother did. And I went through that Bible, and I remember specifically reading through the book of Proverbs when I was a young man, probably 13 years old for the first time, reading through the book of Proverbs for myself. And I found so much as a 13-year-old young man for instruction for living that was practical right then. I didn't have an understanding of theology like I might would have today. I didn't have the background and study like I would have today. But nonetheless, there was so much practical things there that I felt like God gave me wisdom in those times. And I want us to look at the book of Proverbs. I like the way one man described the book of Proverbs. He called Proverbs portable wisdom. In other words, it's wisdom that can be carried around with you no matter where you go. We know the Word of God in general is that, but most specifically, that word wisdom is used throughout the book of Proverbs, and it is the main theme of the book of Proverbs, wisdom. And it is wisdom that is accessible unto us no matter what station we are in life. I know many of us have served God a long time. We've walked through some things. We've seen some things, but nonetheless, in the book of Proverbs, it is a very accessible book, no matter how long you've served God or how long you haven't served God. It is a very practical book, and I want us to look there. It's mostly a collection of individual statements without much context behind them or any organization by topic. You read in the book of Proverbs, in one verse you'll be talking about lying, and the next verse you're talking about anger, and then the next verse you're talking about adultery. These are just the way the book of Proverbs is set forth, but nonetheless, it is very practical wisdom. John Phillips, the commentator, had this to say about Proverbs, and I'll just quote it to you before we read in Proverbs 1. He said, Proverbs are wonderfully successful at being what they are. Proverbs. They are not failed prophecies. They are not systematic theologies. Proverbs are by design laid out, pointed observations meant to be memorized and pondered, not always intended to be applied across the board to every situation without the specific qualifications. And I like what he's saying there. And if you comprehended what I just read to you, you will understand Proverbs are not a systematic theology. We can't build theology on them. We can reinforce our theology with the book of Proverbs because there is so much wisdom here shared. And I want us to read together Proverbs chapter number 1, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Verse 1, Solomon writing, he says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. And we'll stop right there this evening. Over the course of our time on Sunday nights together for the coming weeks, I want us to look at this book of Proverbs and glean some of the very accessible and practical wisdom that it affords unto us. And in this study of Proverbs that we're going to go through for a few weeks, I'm just simply going to title it this, A Wealth of Wisdom. A Wealth of Wisdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this evening.
Lord, you see us tonight as we are once again turning to your book. We thank you for the book of Proverbs, for the practical wisdom that it offers us, the accessible wisdom. And Lord, if ever there was a time that we needed wisdom in our age, it is now. Lord, as believers, we need direction from you. We need understanding. We need guidance and we need counsel. And Lord, I believe that you've provided that for us through the leading of your Spirit, through the Word of God, and through the very nature of who you are. And I pray, Lord, let us avail ourselves of the opportunity to gain wisdom. And let us grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want us to look here, Proverbs chapter number 1. I want to talk first of all, my first point tonight is a word to those who want to be wise. If you still got your Bibles there, open it with me if you've closed it. Proverbs 1 and verse number 2. We just read it, but I want to read it one more time just to reinforce it in our minds so that when I say the next little bit of statements that I got to make, perhaps you will tie them back to the words of Proverbs chapter 1 here. But in Proverbs 1 in verse number 2, Solomon says this. He says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. As after Solomon makes his introduction there of who he is, he begins by talking to his son here, and he says, to know wisdom and instruction. In the opening of his collection of Proverbs, Solomon explains the purpose of these sayings of wisdom. They are intended to give the attentive reader wisdom, instruction, perception, and understanding. I will tell you this, we are living in an information age, but we certainly aren't living in the age of wisdom. We are living in a time when more information is available unto us, readily available, even at our fingertips. But yet, we are not in an age of wisdom. Many people who are wizards with their computers seem to be amateurs when it comes to making success out of their lives. And I will tell you, it is because many have rejected the wisdom of God. It is helpful to remember the difference between wisdom and knowledge. One may have knowledge without wisdom. Knowledge is the collection of facts, while wisdom is the right use of what we know for daily living. Knowledge can tell one how financial systems work, but wisdom is required in order to create a budget and to actually put that into action. That's the difference, if you would, the practical difference between knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to take the knowledge that we have been granted and put it into action. And if ever there was a time that we needed wisdom, the ability to take what has been shared and what has been revealed unto us and put it into action, it is today. It is now in the hour in which we live. Solomon informs us in verse number 3 of chapter 1 that he has written unto those who desire to receive the instructions of wisdom. I tell you tonight, it doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are never past the ability to receive the instruction of wisdom, to hear the voice of wisdom as it cries out. I encourage you over the course of the next few weeks, however you'd like to do it, I would like to encourage you to take the book of Proverbs, maybe read one or two chapters in it a day if you can, maybe just one chapter, and read through this book and hear how often Solomon is going to say something like this: wisdom crieth out in the street, wisdom lifteth up her voice, wisdom calls out to the simple, because wisdom from God is revealed unto man. And this wisdom is the ability to receive the instruction that is needed. It's interesting that word there, instruction, in the Hebrew is the idea of a parent instructing a child and teaching them in the way that they should go. How many know we're still children in the sight of God? We are God's children, and we need His instruction and understanding in order to live our lives. Proverbs is something of a school wisdom, if you would. We come to it with our open hearts and minds to receive the teaching and instruction of God's Word. We open this book and we read there, and God instructs us. He teaches us about very practical things, and we're going to talk about that in the weeks to come. Some of the practical things that Solomon teaches in this book of Proverbs that apply unto everyday life, that apply to the issues and the conflicts of personal relationships. It applies to our anger. It applies to whatever you may have. There are many things within the book of Proverbs that gives instruction if we are willing to receive it. And if we receive the instruction, Solomon says this: it will show us justice, judgment, and equity. And these things will flow from our lives. Justice, judgment, and equity.
Solomon declares that he desires to give subtlety to the simple. Now, I will tell you this. Don't be confused by that word subtlety there. It's used in Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 1 to talk about the devil. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. But that's not the idea. It's the same word, but it's not the idea of what Solomon is teaching here. He said, I'm not here to teach young men how to be crafty. But the idea is, I am here to teach young men how to have discretion and prudence. The idea of the simple there means the uneducated or the naive. Oh, I like what John Phillips had to say about this as well. He said, the word indicates the person, talking about the simple, whose mind is dangerously open. He is gullible. He is naive. He may have opinions, but he lacks deeply thought through and field-tested convictions. I have seen people that have served God for years. And even after many years of service in the Lord, you could still consider them naive. You could still consider them simple in the term of Proverbs chapter number 1. But can I tell you, it is not God's will for us to be naive. It's not God's will for us to be simple. But rather, God has given us the instructions in order to be wise. He has given us His counsel so that we can know what God desires and understand what His plan and His purpose is for our lives. Oh, this isn't just a book for the simple and the inexperienced, though. Oh, he goes on to say, a wise man will hear these words and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So you say, Brother Shane, I don't feel like I'm naive tonight. I feel like I've got a good footing in the Lord. I've served God for many years. Well, the book of Proverbs is for you as well. He said, because even wise men will gain understanding. Even those who are well learned have something more that they can learn from the instruction that is being given by the inspiration of the Spirit through Solomon here. Even a wise man will find much to help and guide him if he will only hear. Even a man of understanding can attain unto wise counsel from the book of Proverbs. So that's just what I want to say, a word to those who would be wise. Second point tonight, to be wise, we must ask God. The first verse of this book, notice Proverbs 1 and 1, the Bible says this, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now, we already knew that. I've already mentioned it several times in this teaching, but we know Solomon wrote this. But what was so amazing about Solomon, I find, is the fact there, the story's recorded for us there in the Bible. It's actually recorded there in 1 Kings chapter number 3. And the Bible says that Solomon has a dream one night, right? And he's there, and the Lord tells him, Solomon, I will give you whatever you ask of me. It is an opportunity of a lifetime. Solomon, whatever you ask of me, I will give it to you. Have you ever really thought about the implications of that? He could have asked absolutely anything. Anything, and God said, I will give it to you. 1 Kings chapter number 3, verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. It is an opportunity of a lifetime. I can tell you, even in modern day America, in our secular culture, many are fascinated with the genie in the bottle offer. You know, we get wrapped up with this idea of Aladdin and the three wishes that he received there, the old Arabian story, and we've heard about it. We've maybe watched it on television, maybe at some point, and it's talking about this idea that this genie appears in a bottle and you can have three wishes. Well, people even today are still creating their own versions all the time. A recent story that I read, I'll just share it with you. Says that a man was walking along the beach and he spotted a bottle and he pulled out the cork. He picked up the bottle, pulled out the cork, and when he did, it released this genie. And then to thank the man, the genie offered him one free wish. Well, said the man, I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I'm afraid to fly. And just thinking about it, going on by ship makes me queasy. Would you mind building a road to Hawaii? The genie replied, oh dear, that's a lot of work. I have to build pilings going down to the ocean floor, bring in tons of material and concrete. The distance is well over 2,000 miles. Do you have another wish instead? The man said, well, let me think about it. He said, yeah, here's my wish. He said, would you help me understand women? He said, I've never been able to understand women. He said, even my wife, I don't understand how she thinks. I don't understand what she wants. I just can't seem to figure out. To which the genie replied, do you want one lane or two lanes on that highway? And I chuckled and I thought about it and I said, but really, that's what most people would want. They want that wish, that thing that nobody else could give them. And they feel like, man, what would I do with that idea? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever asked yourself the question, if I could have anything that I ask for right now, what would I ask for? Let me go a step further. If you could have anything you wanted and you got it, would you be closer to God by getting it? Because here's Solomon, of all the things God could have given him, riches, glory, fame, a bigger kingdom, more than he could have ever imagined. I really believe that if Solomon had asked for anything, if it wasn't sinful, God would have given it to him. But of all the things that he could have asked, what did he ask for? He asks for wisdom, and wisdom, because I love what he says there in 1 Kings chapter number 3. Oh, Solomon says, I am but a child. I don't even know how to go out and come in on my own. I need the ability and the wisdom to do what you have called me to do. I know I am called to sit upon that throne, but I don't have the ability to do what you have asked me to do. That's a noble ask, isn't it? Of all the options that he could have had, he asked for wisdom. According to the Bible, that we are told God was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. And the Lord replies in 1 Kings chapter number 3 and verse 11. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and you've not asked for a long life, neither have you asked for riches, nor have you asked the life of thine enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words, and lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there shall none like thee be before me. Oh, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. So the Lord says, I'm going to grant you this ask, this petition. Oh, and that's how Solomon became the wisest man in the Old Testament history. Look at the rest of the record, if you would. Oh, you don't have to turn there, but if you'd turn there in your own time, 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 28, and all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged and feared the king, for they saw the wisdom of God was in him. God granted this once in a lifetime opportunity for anything he could have asked for, and he asked for wisdom, and God gave it to him, and everybody else took notice. Can I tell you tonight, if we do our diligence and we receive wisdom from God, other people will notice the wisdom that we have received from God. You know why? Because they'll realize that it has nothing to do with us, but it has everything to do with him. If you notice that, 1 Kings chapter 3 doesn't say they noticed the great ability and understanding that Solomon had because he was a son of the king, or because he had been well trained, or because he had had the best schooling, or because he had had the best professors, or he had great instructors. No, they noticed the wisdom that God had given him. They understood that what Solomon possessed was a gift from God. Oh, if God gave us what we desired most right now, would we be closer to him? And would you be more involved in his work? Something to think about, isn't it? I asked myself that question. I said, Lord, I trust that if I could have anything from you at this moment, that whatever it was I asked for, it would allow me to draw closer to you and to be more involved in your work. Because if it does anything other than that, it is not a blessing, it is a curse. Oh, because you know what? Solomon isn't just going to have the wisdom. He's going to have the wealth. He's going to have the women and have everything else added to it. Oh, he never asked for the women and he never asked for the wealth, but he got it anyway. And those things that many people would have considered a blessing turned into a curse. But it was only the wisdom that God provided that was the true blessing. And I will tell you, it's only the things that God has provided and afforded us that we can trace directly back to His hand that we can truly say is a blessing. You know something? There's been times I've went out and gotten things, just not sinful things. I've just gone out and done. How about this? Buying a vehicle. I remember one time I wanted a truck. Not the truck I have now, but there was a truck I owned before that. And you know, I couldn't hardly stand it. I wanted that truck more than anything. I've got to have it. I went down there to that lot, and I picked that truck out, and I drove it home. And I thought I had something. You know, it was my first truck, my first full-size truck. I'd had a little S10 pickup when I first started driving. But man, I thought I really had something. But you know one thing? I didn't pray about that thing before I got it. And can I tell you something? That thing that I thought was a blessing turned out to be a curse. And you know what? Whenever I went over there to that dealership a little over a year and a half later and I traded that thing in, I didn't care I was losing $2,000. I wanted that thing off of my hands because I didn't ask God for it, and I got it anyway. And that thing that I thought was such a blessing at the beginning, a year and a half later, it turned out to be a curse. Can I tell you, there's many things, if we're not careful, the reason God don't give it to us is because He realized it'd be more a curse than it would be a blessing. Oh, but I say, Lord, when we ask for the right things in the right way, give it to us. Give us that wisdom to understand and discern what You are trying to do in our lives. But can I tell you, Solomon had this great opportunity. God said, I'll give you whatever you want. Oh, to be wise like Solomon. You know, I thought about it. Man, what would it be like to be this king that had wisdom to everybody? The Queen of Sheba's coming all the way from the south, and she's wanting to hear about the wisdom of Solomon. People are hearing about his reputation from far and wide. Can I tell you? Oh, to be given that same opportunity to ask for wisdom. Can I tell you, we've been given the same privilege that Solomon had. We have been told right here in this book, James chapter number 1, verse number 5. We know what it says. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to how many? Some people? A select few? His favorites? All. A-L-L, giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. In other words, he said, if we lack the wisdom that we need, and if that's what we really want, God will give it to us. He may not give us the answers all the time as of why, but if we are asking for wisdom, God said, not only will I give it to you, I'll give it to you liberally. I'll give you more than you need. Now, you don't have to answer this. I'm just going to ask you another question. Have you ever sincerely asked God for wisdom about a situation and opened that Bible up and got down on your knees and asked God to give you the wisdom about something, and He's failed to do it? Now, we might have gotten up before God gave us the wisdom we needed. I've done that before. Lord, I really need wisdom about this situation. And about the time I hit my knees, I get an idea and I run off and I start going in another direction. Can't blame God for that. But if I ask Him out of a sincere heart, He made me a promise, and I believe it's just as good as the promise that He gave to Solomon, because He loves me just as much as He loved Solomon. And He said, son, if you need wisdom, ask me, and I'll give it to you, not stingingly, not sparingly, not sparsely, but liberally, more than you need, exceeding abundantly above. As He talks about the Lord giving back to those who give to His kingdom, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I love that. It's the same idea. It's liberal. It's more than enough. An abundant supply. So I say, Lord, and this is just the reality of it, and according to James chapter number 1 and verse number 5, if I lack the wisdom about a situation and I don't hear from God about it, it's not God's fault. Hello? Either I haven't asked or I haven't waited for the answer, because He made a promise. And can God lie? Does He tell any lies? No, He don't tell lies. So therefore He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, for He giveth liberally and upbraideth not. Oh, God issues to us the same invitation that He gave to Solomon. Ask me for wisdom, because I am the omniscient God who gives generously, and I will grant you wisdom, but only if you ask it of me. Can I encourage you tonight before we move on? Include this earnest prayer when you come before His throne. Lord, will You give me wisdom? Wisdom to think rightly, act rightly, and in every circumstance will You teach me Your way. Do you believe if we really pray that from our hearts that God will answer it? I believe He will. Psalms chapter number 27, there are two times in the Bible where we find this wonderful four-word prayer request. Oh, in Psalms 27 and verse number 11, he says this, "Teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." Oh, I know You've done it before, and I trust that You'll continue to do it. Open up that Bible and say, "Lord, teach me Your way. Lord, I'm asking for Your way in this." Oh, David would say it a second time in Psalm 86 and verse number 11. "Teach me Thy way, O Lord. I will walk in Thy truth. Unite my heart to fear Thy name." In other words, God, I need You to teach me Your way. Give me Your wisdom. Notice the context of the offer there in James, though. He said, if any man lack wisdom, he said, ask of God, He giveth liberally, unto all men liberally, and He upbraideth not. But one of the interesting things about this special offer that God gives in James chapter number 1 is found within the context. James chapter 1 and verse number 2, this is what the Bible says. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." And then he says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not." You know, it's in the context of trials and troubles that he says we can ask for wisdom. Because you know what? When everything's going well and everything's bright and sunny and cheery, oftentimes we don't think to ask for wisdom. But it's when everything falls apart and we're falling into diverse temptations and we're falling into manifold trials and we're falling into this temptation and this issue and this trial and we're facing the normalities of life, if you will. Those are the times in which it drives us to our knees and we cry out, "God, I can't do it in my wisdom. I need Your wisdom." And that's the context in which that promise is given. When everything else is falling apart, when nothing else is giving you the answers, when life is trying you on every side, he said, "Ask of God, and in those times God will give you wisdom." And you're saying, "Brother Shane, does that mean that God doesn't give wisdom in other times?" No. I just wanted to cue you into that context. We don't need wisdom as badly when life is easy and we aren't faced with problems, pain, perplexities, and uncertain times. Sure, we want to act wisely all the time, but it's the trials of life that demand the greater wisdom. And that's the arena in which God has promised to provide wisdom for all those who ask. In the context of it, God said, "I will give you wisdom." Same promise He said unto Solomon, "I'll give you wisdom because you have asked it of me." So number two, you got to be wise. We got to ask God. Number three, to be wise, we got to search the Scriptures. Proverbs 1:1 gave us the author of the book, the man who teaches us the importance of asking God for wisdom. The next set of verses, Proverbs 1, verses 2 through 6, tell us that God answers that prayer largely by conveying His wisdom to us in His Word. The book of Proverbs in particular is a treasure trove of divine wisdom. God's prompt purpose in putting this book in the Bible is that it's recorded for us right here, because first of all, I want to share this with you. I read a unique definition of wisdom in studying for this message. I want to share it with you. Bill Goddard said this: wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective. Biblical wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective. And I thought that was good. I said, that's a good definition of wisdom. It's seeing things the way that God sees them, and that way we know the correct path in which to follow. In the book of Proverbs, we have that perspective given for us. And as we faithfully memorize and meditate on Scripture, the Spirit of God will gradually remold our minds until we see things and evaluate life increasingly, not from our point of view and not from our perspective, but from the God's point of view, which is the very essence of wisdom. Oh, yes. When we open up those Scriptures and we allow it to mold our minds and our hearts. And I'm going to show you some things in the book of Proverbs, but just listen to me. This is why in the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs are essentially a series of essays on the importance of wisdom and the procedure for acquiring it. The first 9 chapters talk nothing about, hardly about, but wisdom. How to acquire it, why it isn't so important, why it is so valuable. You need wisdom. You need wisdom. My son, listen to my instruction. Just listen to a few of these. Look at how this message is emphasized in chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse number 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Can I tell you, this isn't just Solomon talking to his son, but through the inspiration of the Spirit, it is God speaking unto us. The nature of Scripture is that it is humanly authored but divinely inspired. The Lord speaking, telling us to listen to His instruction and not forsake His teaching. Saying, listen up, don't forsake my teaching. Understand what I'm trying to tell you. Solomon goes on to say in verse number 9, talking about the instructions that are given, for they shall be an ornament of grace in thy head and chains about thy neck. In other words, he said, it'll be an ornament upon you. It shall be a beauty upon you if you listen to the instructions. Can I tell you something? If we not only hear this word, but we apply it and we live it, it'll be an ornament upon our head and it'll be grace upon our neck because it will give us the ability to live and face whatever may come into our lives. Proverbs 2:1, this is what Solomon says. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. And I'll stop right there. Can I tell you, God doesn't just want us to read His Word or even to merely study it. He wants us to memorize it and meditate on it. Oh, to visualize and personalize it. To store it up in our hearts and make it a treasure that the world cannot steal. To put it on the inside. That's what Solomon says to do with his word. Tells his son. But I will tell you, that's what we need to do to God's word in general. Proverbs 2:2, he says, so that thou incline thine ear into wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Do we believe that? He said, if we'll seek after it, if we'll put our efforts into it, everything that we got, God will share it with us. Aren't you glad that God doesn't say, hey, I've got some wisdom for you, but I hope you can find it. No, He makes the path known. He makes it clear unto us. This is the path to wisdom. Seek me and listen to my book. Understand my book. Meditate upon my words and let my words sink down into the inside. Proverbs 6:20, Solomon would say this, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart. Tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. And when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and the reproofs of instructions are the way of life. Can I ask you, is that Bible that to you? Oh, when you go, does it lead you? When you sleep, does it keep you? When you wake up, do you talk and commune with God? For the commandment unto you is a lamp, and the law is a light, and the reproofs of instruction are a way to life for us. That's what God intended for it to be, a way unto life. Proverbs 8:1. Oh, I love this. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? I tell you, wisdom isn't silent. Wisdom cries out to us. Wisdom makes her call to us and says, all those who would listen, oh, perk up your ears and hear what thus saith the Lord. He goes on in Proverbs 8:33, hear instruction and be wise. Refuse it not. Oh, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. What a great description of our daily devotional time in Bible study and prayer. Oh, did you catch it? This is what he says. Blessed is the man that watching daily at my gates and waiting at the post of my doors. Do we get up every morning? Watch at the gates of God and hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. Do we make that our first priority? Do we make it the last thing we think about at night? Oh, because we want to know the wisdom of what God has declared. Not what society declares or what the news outlet says, but what thus saith the word of God. Oh, he goes on in Proverbs 8:35, for whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. His favor is the only favor that matters. There is no abiding wisdom apart from God's word. We're almost done. But as we store up his commandments within us and begin looking at life's event through the prism of his precepts, we begin maturing into people, as one man described it, of sanctified common sense. That's how he defined wisdom. Sanctified common sense. It's a set apart common sense that is not common in society, but it is common by those who read and search after the things of God. Hunger for it. Long for it. Knock at the doorpost and say, God, I've got to have your wisdom. But is our hunger and our thirst for wisdom and our desire to know what God has that great that we ask God, say, Lord, I cannot make it unless I have your understanding. My understanding isn't going to do it. My wisdom won't accomplish it. My ability is going to fall short. But I know that you have promised that those that ask wisdom of you will receive it liberally, and you will not upbraid them for asking. I'm talking to you tonight about a wealth of wisdom. Proverbs 3, verse 13. I'm going to read this to you and we're going to close. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof more than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. And in Proverbs 23 and verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Oh, God has given us access into his wisdom. I say, Lord, let us buy it and sell it not. Lord, let us ask of it. Oh, because happy is everyone that retains such wisdom. Let's stand all over the building this evening. We have access through the word of God and through prayer, through asking God, to a wealth of wisdom. All we got to do is ask God and search his word. Number one, can we ask God for the wisdom that we lack? Can I tell you, every one of us has some area in our lives we lack wisdom in. Do you believe that? We have some area in our lives that we lack the wisdom that we need, because that's just the nature of life, because we are partial creatures. We understand in part, as Paul said, and we prophesy in part. It is a partial revelation. So therefore, we live every day needing God's wisdom. And if you think you can live apart from his wisdom, you will find a sad and sullen reality, because God's wisdom is what keeps us and guides us. So can we ask God for the wisdom we lack? And number two, can we commit to search the scriptures to see things from God's perspective? Lord, I want to see this how you view it. I'm not telling you there's going to be a scripture that specifically speaks to every situation in your life. But I will tell you, there is a scripture in there that will speak to the general essence of everything in your life. God will speak to you if you need wisdom. Oh, I like what one man said. He said, we are wired and we are tired. Oh, we need more than information. One investment company ran a full-page ad in the Wall Street Journal and began with these words, "Information is everywhere, but insight is all too rare. For insight goes beyond information to discern the underlying truths. Today, we are long on information and short on insight. Online databases give us the temperature in Hong Kong and baseball score in Birmingham. But we're wired and tired from trying to grasp the meaning of all that we know. Because I'll tell you something, without wisdom, we can't grasp and we don't know how to use the knowledge that we've been given. Do you want to be able to use the knowledge that God's given us? I want to be able to put it into action and see God's work go forward. So let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you this evening. Lord, I know this is different for a Sunday night. I've just tried to do a little preaching, but Lord, I pray, God, that you bless. Lord, take your word. We need your wisdom, Lord. Lord, if you granted us the desire of our heart right now, I pray that we would desire such a thing that would draw us closer to you, that would employ us greatly in your service, oh God. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, if we lack wisdom, where we lack wisdom, I will say, Lord, let us seek after you until we find such wisdom, because you have made us a promise that if we ask wisdom from you, you will give it to all those who seek, and you don't want just give it, you will give it liberally. And I pray, Lord, let us experience that liberal blessing of wisdom, that we will understand what you desire, Lord, that we will see things from your perspective, oh God. Let us open up this book, Lord. Let us wait at the doorpost in the morning. Let us hear your voice throughout the day. And as we go to sleep at night, let us hear your wisdom crying out to us. As you desire great things from us and through us and for us, I pray, God, give us the wisdom to do that which pleases you and that alone, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, God, let us do it. Let us do it. Oh, yes, I trust that we'll do that, that we'll apply our hearts to know wisdom. Buy the truth and sell it not. Oh, you know what? This hasn't been a vain adventure. Adventure. Doesn't matter how many years you've opened that book. Every time you open it, you find something new. You find fresh insight and instruction for living. Because that's the way God designed it. For the Word of God is powerful. It's quick, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder both bone and marrow, soul and spirit, so that all things are made manifest in his sight. And there is nothing that is hid from it. Do you believe that? Oh, yes, I do. I know you do. And I pray, God, help us to find that insight and that wisdom that God has afforded us. Amen. God bless you. I appreciate you. It's been a good day in the Lord. May God bless you and keep you, and you're dismissed in the fear of the Lord.